Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good morning. Keith over here, broadcasting live from DeVilla Square, Pensacola Business Radio. I have a studio full of characters this morning, and I wish you could see all of them. Some of you might, because I think Rafi said he's going to do some video, so hopefully everybody will be able to see how packed and jammed we are in here. But I want to welcome everybody this morning. David Speakman.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, absolutely. Okay, Cliff, I don't want to get your last name messed up, man. So good morning, Cliff.
Good morning.
It's just Cliff. So, and then Carol Ann, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, you're going to have to lean in.
Good morning.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, and then I have Rafi and Klee.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. And not in unison.
Not in unison.
Yeah. So cool. Well, let's start talking about what everybody in here does. So David, take it away.
All right. Well, I'm a business consultant with Gulf Coast Business Consulting, and I also manage a large social media business community on the Gulf Coast. When you add up all our followers on all accounts, we have over 6,000 people in the community, and we have a lot of fun promoting each other's events, sharing events along the Gulf Coast. And also, so with the business consulting, I help small businesses and large businesses, medium-sized businesses develop strategies for growing their profits and growing their revenue, improving their business, helping them reach their target customers and improve their processes and things like that. And I enjoy doing that. It's what I love doing, and I've got great training from some great people, and I'm really excited to do that.
Do you do, is the consulting any certain industry, or is it sort of free-for-all?
Yeah, it's all industries. Yeah, definitely all industries.
Which one do you like the most so far?
Well,
see, I'm making you pick a favorite, so.
Well,
choose wisely.
I do really, I know you're in the culinary industry, and I do really enjoy local restaurants. Love working with local restaurants.
Well, yeah, man, you get to eat.
Oh, yeah.
And drink.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's wonderful when you get to have a meeting with a restaurant owner and they serve you food.
Yeah.
During the meeting. So that's,
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what, how did you get into the consulting industry?
Okay. So, maybe about 16 years ago, I really, noticed that I enjoyed, just the general business industry. And then, so I started, working on a degree in commerce and business administration. And I was specializing in entrepreneurship, and loved working with small organizations, working with churches, nonprofits, and local businesses, and that kind of thing. And then I was at the University of Alabama, and one of my courses for my entrepreneurship specialization was small business consulting. And taught by Dr. Lou Marino, and I really loved that course, and it was a fieldwork course where you had to have all the skills to do small business consulting before you got into the course. So
they threw you to the wolves?
Yeah, there was no lecture, really. It was just...
Go figure it out.
Well, it was just, here's a client, a real client, and, you know, if you mess up, then it's going to actually affect their business and their livelihood and all their employees. So
no pressure.
Yeah. So, you know, you had to already have all those skills already. So, I really enjoyed, getting to do it. And I had been, you know, helping some, small organizations already, grow and, improve their processes and everything. But this was actually, formal training, going through a formal program taught by one of the best consultants in the Southeast.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the 4-month project, what really really solidified my motivation to want to continue being a consultant was the thing that they told me when I gave them the final presentation. And they said that they'd been working with business consultants for the last 5 years, but we were the only ones to actually present them with material and strategies that would actually help their business. And so that really meant a lot to me. And I said, you know, instead of, you know, finding a certain industry and a certain business to just kind of start, why don't I take all these skills that I learned and help other businesses, help other business owners?
Yeah, it's never the same day twice.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it feels good to make a difference in somebody's life, doesn't it?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but you're doing big stuff too. I mean, mm-hmm. So it's not just small firms. So
that's right.
What's the U.S. National Executive Officer with the International Business Honor Society?
Yeah.
As if that wasn't a mouthful.
I don't even think
that'd fit on your name tag, man.
Yeah. So that was a wonderful opportunity that I had. I was working with the Pensacola chapter first, of the International Business Honor Society. And, I was the historian for the Pensacola chapter and the public relations officer. And then we hosted the National Leadership Conference in 2010 and here in Pensacola. And I ran for national office. I was one of 5 people in the United States that was a national officer. I served a year as a term as a national officer. So that was really exciting and got to help plan things for that organization for the future. And work with people from all over the country.
So yeah. Really talk about getting amazing. Some experience, huh? Yes, I mean, it's a huge organization. So mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. Huge.
Man, you got a plethora of people to probe.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think, in your consulting, what do you think is probably one of the best lessons that you teach your clients?
Okay. That's a great
question. This is free advice, everybody. This is free advice.
That's a great question. And I thought about that a little bit before, you know, what's one thing that I can share that's kind of a quick thing. And it's, I think the most important, the most valuable thing that I can share is to plan ahead, to organize, to brainstorm, to develop a strategy, you know, drink a lot of coffee and just go for it.
Yeah.
You know, let your mind think of all the possibilities of what could happen, you know, if you take this course of action and, you know, how to best solve a problem, how to best execute a strategy, what's the most efficient way, all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, talk to your friends, talk to other people that have done it, you know, go on the internet, read, talk to, volunteer business consultants, small business development center, talk to a business consultant like me or another business consultant. Do everything you can in advance as much as possible. Plan.
Strategize. And if you don't know, ask, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So between all of the business schooling and stuff that you've done and then your real world application, mm-hmm. do you find it along the same lines, or was it sort of like, oh, well, that's how it is in the textbook, but it's not really going to work here?
Yeah, there was a lot that I experienced after becoming a business consultant that was definitely never taught in school. So there was a very quick...
You need the hard knocks manual, don't you?
Yeah. So it was a little bit of both. The stuff that I learned in school is more of a, how do I say it? It's more of like the
theoretical.
Theoretical.
Yeah.
Perfect word for me. Theoretical, how to do this, and then the stuff that you learn in the real world is very, very practical stuff. You know, how do you legally start a business with the state?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
How do you form this business? What forms do you fill out? That kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, and it just goes to show you that there's more value in personal relationship and in that kind of stuff than it is to, in the how-to books can only teach you so much.
Yeah. And I think I really am getting to enjoy now is that I have 8 years worth of education and years worth of real-world experience, and I can combine them together and really, you know, have a good workflow.
Yeah. Well, and you still, it sounds like you really love what you do, which
I do. Yeah.
I think it's huge.
Yeah. I've loved what I've done for, 16 years. Really now getting to kind of roll into, getting to actually help people and help a lot, you know. So that's great.
Well, I'll tell you what, where can we tell people to go to find some information on you?
Yeah, you can just go to gulfcoastbusiness.com. And if you don't spell it right, there's a hyphen in there. Google will probably tell you.
They'll correct you. They'll consult for you.
Yeah. But yeah, it's Gulf Coast and there's a hyphen and then business.com. Also please join us on social media, join one of our communities. We really have a lot of fun on there.
Can they get to those through your website?
Oh yeah. We're all connected everywhere. So go to the website. It'll connect you to the social media communities. The social media communities connect you to the website. Also on the website, we have a lot of, free things for business owners, calculators for, you know, valuing your business, getting your profit and loss, your break even point, all that stuff's free on the website. So
very cool.
Great tools. Yeah.
Well, cool, man. Well, thanks for, coming in this morning, hang out here for a little while.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much, Keith.
Absolutely. And feel free to chime in here if I get stuck. So, all right, Cliff and Carol Ann, how are you?
All right.
Okay. So Carol Ann gave me like two things. So I'm giving it to you. So Big Rhino Screen Printing.
Yes.
You guys have been here forever. I know that, which is awesome.
Yes.
So you've been a local business for how many years?
Over 22 years since 92.
Okay. Yeah. So where do you want to start, man?
Well, I just tell you a little bit about ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, we're a screen printer, of course, and also we also do embroidery. We're getting into digital stuff and also promotional items as well.
Okay, so what's the digital? Like digitally printing onto stuff? Like on shirts?
Yes.
Are we talking like souvenirs and stickers and?
Well, right now it's t-shirts. Well, we can do a small amount of other items too.
Other swag.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So how does that work?
Oh, it's pretty cool. It's called direct to garment printing, and we can actually print one shirt at a time. The machine is practically a desktop inkjet printer on steroids, is what I call it.
That'll work.
Yeah, so a whole t-shirt.
Yeah,
you know, actually goes through the machine.
So does that lower the consumer's cost then? Like, if you can do one shirt at a time, does that mean you don't have to buy like 200 shirts to get a deal? Carol's making a face, so I'm assuming maybe not so much as I'm thinking, but.
Well, it just pretty much depends on how much you want to spend on a shirt.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're talking $300 trying to take one shirt screen print versus $20 for one shirt. Yeah, it's a big saving.
Yeah. So you guys, I know, I figured you just did everybody's screen printing because I haven't known any others in town.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, see, it's working. It's working. So, walk me through the process if somebody does want to have something screen printed. Because sometimes, you don't even realize you want your own t-shirt until right. all of a sudden you realize you can have your own t-shirt.
And you need to be advertising for yourself.
That's right. That's right. So walk me through the process with you guys.
Well, there are many ways that you can request t-shirts from us. We do t-shirts, we do polos, mm-hmm. We embroider polos as well, hats, pretty much anything that you would need for your business.
Yeah.
Or organization, churches,
so
schools.
Do I need to bring my own logo? Do you guys help me create it?
You can do either or. We have an in-house art department available. Or you can provide an idea, and mm-hmm. we can take that. And then, it's because there's a lot of people out there who have ideas but don't know how to put it
right
into,
into marketable logos.
Right, exactly. So we can take that and convert it into a product that we can then turn around and use on either for screen printing, embroidery, promotional items, things of that nature.
How many shirts do you guys think you do a year?
Wow, that's a good one.
Yeah. Now, and I only ask that because I've been in your place and I've seen the huge octopus looking t-shirt thing where there's like 30 getting pressed at once. So yeah. I'm pretty sure it's got to be a pretty big number. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably. Wow. I haven't taken that.
Carol, anyone take a guess? You know? A lot, huh? A lot.
I know the machine was showing 1.something million, but it was.
That's amazing.
But it wasn't in a year. It was over a few years.
So, I have done some, and I can contest here. I brought in a logo to have put on a shirt for one of the other brands that I've been working on with some friends. And I have to say, the process was very easy for me. And they smarted me up, I guess is the best way to put it. Because I had all these cool colors and this shadowing and all of this stuff. And then she told me what it takes to do that and how much that would be. And she said, it'd probably just be better in 3-color.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's just boring. But I'll tell you what, when I put it in 3-color, it actually looked sharper and cleaner than it did with the other 9 that I wanted. That was, it's gonna be like $70 a shirt, but that's because I was gonna buy one and not 100.
Oh, yeah.
See, it just didn't work out. So, okay, you guys have been here for 20 plus years. What's the next big thing with you guys? You got 3D print t-shirts? it's coming.
That or, some type of LED display on our shirt.
Yeah, there you go.
They have these bendable films now.
Just put it right on there, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, and it lights up too.
Yeah.
I would think I could use one of those for my ugly sweater party next week for Christmas.
Yeah, you pretty much have a new shirt every day, so.
That might put you out of business.
It would, unless we were developing it. Right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you can only have like one picture on there at a time. So, what do you find are your most typical clients?
Other business.
Yeah.
Yeah, business to business. I think that's where we excel. I mean, that's where I hope we excel.
Yeah.
Just recently took this business over from the previous owner, mm-hmm. Jay Kowalski and myself, beginning of this year. David Presnell is the one who owned the company for up until, last year, since 92. And they've been really good to us, and we're really gracious to them for extending this opportunity to us. And we just hope that we can just take up the candle that he lit and make it shine even brighter than what he did.
So what do you think it is about businesses, t-shirts and products that you guys think you do so good?
Well, helping them promote, their venture.
Yeah.
Their venture or of course their business, but whatever event they might have as well.
Yeah. So I know one of the other things I noticed too is that I had this inclination that it was just t-shirts, but you guys have you had all the cool Nike air dry stuff, and it, which is probably why my t-shirt was so expensive too, because that was like high end stuff. But but you really can do whatever, right? I mean, no, it's not just a t-shirt or a softball or baseball t-shirt.
We've actually added a small showroom to our location, and you know that allows you to come in, feel the materials,
right?
Because I mean, there are a lot of brands that we can either print on or just say embellish.
Yeah.
A lot of the brands that we would carry that have become popular, American Apparel, Next Level, Nike.
Yeah. I love the whatever this is, the air dry, like you got on.
Yeah.
What's that called?
Moisture wicking.
Yeah, that stuff.
Yeah, moisture wicking materials. Yeah. All the, you know, pretty much all the latest technologies when it comes to sport attire.
Yeah.
Or corporate attire. Yeah. As well.
Yeah. Well, and I noticed yours is embroidered.
Yes.
So you guys do all that too?
Yes.
Very cool. All right. So what else, man?
Well,
what else? We gotta figure out a way to let people know that they need their own t-shirt.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I think. Yeah.
Even if you don't have a logo, we'll make one for you.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah.
I mean, we can.
Or we could be your logo here for $500, right?
Or less than that.
That might be my next t-shirt.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, your logo here, call. Yeah,
as far as pricing for art and design, I believe we're pretty competitive when it comes to that, and we try to stay competitive on the printing side of things too.
Yeah,
you know, larger quantities, of course, are always going to be your least expensive per piece.
Why is that though? I mean, isn't it easier just to do one than it is to do 5,000?
No, actually.
No. You know what? Actually, the same thing sort of applies to cooking. So if you're feeding 30, you might as well feed 300.
Is it volume? Volume.
Yeah.
Volume.
Yeah.
Right. Our consultant would know, right?
Right. Well, the costs are mainly in labor. You know?
Yeah.
So when you spread that out over so many pieces, it reduces the
then it makes. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So... Is the only look? Where's your location? And is that the only location?
It is the only location for now. We are on.
For now, I like that progressive thinking right there.
2709 North Pace Boulevard, about a block up from about two or three blocks up from Fairfield.
Yeah.
Well, down I'd say, going south.
Yeah. Well, and go check it out. I mean, I know you guys welcome people because I got to walk around.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's cool, man. There's all kinds of stuff going on. Everybody's in there rocking out, and there's 5,000 t-shirts getting printed on this. Tony, it looks like an octopus carousel sort of.
It is.
And it's like, psh, and then all of a sudden you got 30 t-shirts that are done. So
it's actually a 12-color press.
Yeah.
Long
way from the old school swiping screen like I used to make in my punk rock days.
Yeah, those were rough.
Yeah. Well, that was before you guys. I guess actually you were there, but we figured we could solve our problems with a screen and some ink, and it just never worked out so well. So,
but it is definitely a skill that a lot of people think they might have or want to have.
Yeah,
it just takes a little bit of time.
So. What about if somebody's like, I know you guys do digital real well, obviously. That's pretty easy to sort of transfer. What about if I'm drawing my own logo or it's in some other, what's the word I'm looking for?
Format
of media.
Yeah. Yeah.
All that can translate to a t-shirt, huh?
Oh, yeah, sure. Sure. I mean, sometimes it might not. We have certain limitations when it comes to colors which is...
Or the artist's ability to make art.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that's not.
I mean, there's times I've done a logo before for some other things. They're like, no, dude, this just isn't going to work. No.
Yeah. Yeah. And we can pretty much take anything that you provide. Now, we would always prefer you provide something ready to go.
Sure.
Mainly due to cost. You know, we can save you money. But if we, you know, because if we have to recreate it, it's going to cost you.
Yeah.
You know? It's going to cost you a little bit.
Yeah. You know, well, because you got an artist that's now devoting some time to it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So even though I know that there's other competition in town, even though I may not think I know there is, but I want to know why you guys have stood out so much? I mean, tell everybody why you guys are just the best.
Well, we love what we do.
Yeah.
And that's one of
the... And that's, I'll give you that, because when I got there, everybody was having fun.
Well, we do love what we do, and our main goal was customer satisfaction.
Yeah.
Does that make us better than anybody else, you know?
That's, Carol that's says a, yes. She says yes.
You know, that's subjective, but yeah. that's what we aim for. You know, we want to put out the best product that we can.
Yeah.
You know, we might not succeed 100% of the time, but we do at least 99%.
There you go.
We try 100%.
100% successful 99% of the time.
Right. That's perfect. What we try for.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You can't win them all.
No.
You're not allowed to.
Well,
I got to have one at least. So, well, I'll tell you what. Let's tell everybody where we can find you and send them to the website and all that good stuff.
Sure. Our website is bigrunner.com. You can visit us there. We also have a request form online that you can, you know, you can either, well, we also have, you can fill in your information there. You can just let us know what you're looking for, what you need. And one of our customer service reps will take care of you. And you can give us a call at 850-469-9028. And, and pretty much anybody there who answers the emails or phones will help you in any way they can.
So I could technically submit my entire design and product without even having to come to the store.
Yeah, sure. We have a file upload on the side as well.
Very cool. Yeah. Although you'll miss all the dancing and the really cool t-shirt octopus.
Yeah, we should probably put that on.
You should, man. Yeah, you just got put some video on it, man. It's a pretty cool process, I think. I noticed here on your site, too, you guys have a blog. What's that about?
Well, we're the blog's not complete yet because I've kind of been sidetracked on.
You haven't been busy at all. But, I mean, you guys have started. I mean, this is a new thing, yeah?
Yeah, just to help inform the customers to make a better decision, a buying decision.
Right? Cool. Yeah. And maybe share some cool logo ideas.
Maybe that.
Like mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. So, well, very cool. Well, thanks for coming in and hanging out with us today. And
thanks for having us.
And by all means, don't let that door tease you. It's locked, so you're here till the end. So just hang out. Yeah. So, okay, so that brings us to Rafi and Klee. Good morning.
Good morning.
You guys have been so patient.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've decided that the two of you have some of the coolest names I think I've ever heard.
Thanks.
And the fact that you're here together with cool names is really cool. So
we try.
I'm a firm believer that you name your kids with that rock star mentality, and then they'll be the rock star mentality. You know what I mean?
It's worked out so far.
Yeah, it has.
So, Rafi, talk to us about you're an artist.
Yes.
And not starving.
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely
so
not.
So successful
starving.
Artist. Yes. Even
successful
better.
Successful artist. I think that the whole starving artist thing is a myth. And in fact, it's one of the main things that I YouTube about. I have a YouTube show where I talk about my experience being an artist and the true experience of what it means being an artist. Basically, being an artist, you're just opening up a business. That's what you're doing. So the starving part is just like any business. You're going to run through some learning experience at first. Mm-hmm. And, you know, usually somebody will tell you it takes about 2 years, 3 years for a business to actually start turning a profit.
Yeah.
With art, it's actually on a mini scale, so that's a lot sooner.
2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. You know, so I had a, you know, my ramen noodle eating period that lasted about 3 months, and then
I still have mine. I think I got addicted to it during mine. But yeah, I mean, I understand where you're going, but yeah, I think I still.
Well, to be honest, I still make sure I buy ramen noodles every week because I just like them.
Yeah, why not? It works. So what, tell me about, and I wish we'll have to put some pictures on our site when we repost the show of some of the stuff you do. So, because here we are trying to explain art on a radio show, but let's tell everybody sort of what you do.
I basically paint whatever I feel like painting. I do paintings on wood. I do them on canvas. And my tagline is dynamic depictions of the human experience.
Very cool.
So it's based on emotion. Like, you know, my inspiration comes from what I feel.
Yeah.
You know, conversations I might be having with my wife, conversations that I have with different people, possibly what's been going on in here might inspire something.
Sure.
And that's where I paint from. Things that are empowering. I'm not a big fan of putting depressing bull stuff on your wall.
Right.
You know, so like that's my thing. Something that you are gonna wake up in the morning, look at, feel completely empowered and charged up to take on the day and move forward. So that's what I create.
Yeah.
Inspiration on, you know, not in a bottle. I don't know.
So growing up, how did you come to this realization of that you're just going to do art and not be starving?
Well, growing up, you know, I had these visions of grandeur and I was going to be this amazing artist and there were going to be millions upon billions of people that were just, you know, going to be like, wow, he's amazing and he's great. And
still has his ear.
Yeah. So when I left high school, I was like, I'm going to be an artist, Dad. I don't care what you say. And then 12 years later, I was wearing a suit and a tie and I was working for a corporate.
Yeah.
And very successful in corporate. And basically my art career was a side job because I totally believed in the whole starving artist thing. Mm-hmm. And that's really discouraging if you want to be an artist, you know, and it's not really something that you learn in school as far as career. You learn a lot about technique, but they don't teach you
how to sell it.
Yeah. The art of business in art.
Yeah.
You know, they don't teach you how to go that way. So it wasn't until I got sick and tired of my corporate job and just decided, like, you know, life is too short to not do what you love.
Yeah.
And if I could succeed at something that I don't like doing, I could absolutely succeed at something that I love. And so that realization came, and you know,
that's a good way to look at it. So many people are afraid to do the thing they love because they think they won't succeed at it.
Right. And it's one of the things that I talk about in a lot of my blogs and stuff is that failure is non-existent. The only way that you could fail is if you give up.
Yeah.
You know, if you keep moving forward, yeah, you'll have a hiccup here and a hiccup there, but failure, it's only when you give in the towel because you give in to your own discouragement or whatever.
Yeah. And this is the second time in 2 weeks I've shared this advice, but my dad always told me, you never get it done and nobody's getting out alive.
Yeah.
So you might as well just keep going.
Yeah, just keep going.
You know? So who's your favorite artist? Or do you have one? I guess there's one for every medium kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically bits and pieces because, you know, any famous artist that you look at, they've got that side of them that is empowering and successful. And then you have that very dramatic, you know,
a little lead paint in your eye kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, crying in your studio and eating paint. That's not something that I'm like, yeah. So yeah, you know, like Pablo Picasso, Andy Warhol. Andy Warhol was fantastic at marketing. You want to learn marketing, you look at Andy Warhol and what he did. His entire career, that was his art. Pablo Picasso, the same thing, you know, marketing and being in the right place at the right time and not by accident, but because he put himself there. So those are the kind of things that I look at. A lot of people will ask me that same question and they'll expect me to talk about the art. I have an absolute appreciation and a love for the art that any of the great masters have created. But as far as learning a skill, I'd rather look at their life and see what inspired that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
exactly. What was it that inspired that? What was it that worked for them? Why are they so known?
Yeah.
You know, because my goal would be to become a very successful and well-known artist during my lifetime. You know,
yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, you don't want it valuable when you're dead. Yeah, that doesn't work.
Exactly. I'm not going to care then.
Yeah.
So yeah.
You a Dolly fan at all?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think he was probably one of the first artists I ever explored that way because somebody actually wrote that book on him where you could read of his life and sort of figure out what made this tick for all of these really cool creations.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Not only that, but Dolly did video.
Yeah.
You know, he did these crazy looking videos. And he was just a character. It was a character where there were so many people that hadn't even seen Dolly's art, but they knew about Dolly.
Right.
You know, they knew what he looked like. They knew that he was eccentric.
Yeah.
You know, and that's because, you know, the best marketing for an artist, and I'll tell them every single time, is you are marketing your personality and who you are.
Yeah.
That's it. Don't worry about the art. You know, I mean,
it'll sell itself.
Yeah. You know, and basically, if people are buying art, they're not buying the art per se because it's, yeah, I mean, it is beautiful. My art is extremely beautiful.
That's right.
But they're buying the art from you. It's just like any product. If you walk into, you know, you go into Big Rhino, like you said, like everybody's having a good time.
Yeah.
Like, you are inspired. You want to be a part of that. If you walk into an artist's gallery or their booth and they're sitting there with a scowl on their face, like, you know, you're about to make an investment. Like, you're not going to want to buy from somebody who is, you know. So, like, my thing is, like, get out there and have fun, especially if you're an artist, because, you know, you get to be eccentric.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of rules in business that don't apply to artists, and I love it.
And no offense to David over here, but you don't have to wear a tie.
No, I don't have to wear a tie. My jeans are covered in paint everywhere I go, and everybody's like, "Oh, that's just Rafi," you know.
Yeah.
And it works. It's great.
Yeah, you could even be a little crazy some days, and people would just think it's genius.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a great escape, man. I love it. I'll tell you one of my other favorite ones that goes just along the lines of where you're coming from is Alex Gray. You ever seen his stuff?
Yes.
That does sort of the Tool album covers, which is how I found him. And then all of a sudden he's got all this other cool stuff, but same lines, man. Just the person is the art, and that's just an extension of.
Exactly. Because, you know, and that's why you cannot, when I first, you know, it was about 3.5 years ago that I started my art career. I've always been an artist, but I, you know, like I said, I believed in the starving artist mentality, and I was afraid to go forth with it. It wasn't until my wife said, "Hey, your stuff is really awesome. You need to share this." So when I first started my career, you know, a lot of artists stepped up and tried to give me advice here, and they said, you know, you need to do coastal scenes. You need to do things like that because that's what sells. And at that point, even though, you know, I wasn't really secure in myself or my art, I realized that if I did proceed with a career like that, that then that's what I would get known for. And it's just not worth it. Your art should be part of your passion. It should be something that you get excited to see, not something that you're creating to sell, because it will not sell. And if it starts to sell, you're going to hate walking into the studio to create stuff that you don't want to create.
Yeah, that's not inspired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. Like,
some call that selling out, which is the whole concept, really, of starving artists, because you really have to choose the path. You either do the art that you love, that you're inspired by, regardless of what happens. Hopefully it's good enough or successful enough, or you market it correctly to actually make some money off of it.
Right.
Or you sell out and make some photo booked, you know.
And that's the thing.
Copied, like, pictures.
That's the thing. Like, as you know, one of the things that inspires me from a lot of the great masters, you know, Picasso, for example. Picasso started doing lithographs, which are basically prints, you know. And so he sold over 100,000 of these prints.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in fact, he had a friend that he gave one to. His name, the piece is called Poor Richard. It's very popular because his friend always ran into money problems. So whenever his friend had money problems, he could print up one of these prints and make some money. But
you got any of those laying around, dude?
But that's the idea. Like, you cannot, it's not selling out. You know, I was approached to do a book cover, and this other artist came up to me. He's like, "Well, you know, that's selling out, and I'm never going to sell out." I'm like, "Pablo Picasso did book covers. Andy Warhol did book covers.
Yeah,
like, that's an honor. Like, you know, you're not selling out. You're creating your version, your interpretation of the art, and you're putting it out there.
Yeah.
Now, if I try to copy somebody else's art,
and I'm glad you made that distinction, because that's just it right there.
Yeah.
It's your spin on it.
Yeah. Yeah, so if I mass produce a bunch of my pieces, you know, that's not selling out.
No, that's making money.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to put them on t-shirts.
Yeah, there you go. Very cool. Or even the LED stuff or whatever. It'd just be lighting up down the street. So, and then, Clee, you said you do some stuff too, yeah?
Yeah, I make jewelry.
Yeah.
I work with semi-precious and precious stones and metals, and I do a lot of hammering and intricate wire weaving.
So you got some background noise when you're painting then.
Yeah, he's the delicate one in the studio. I'm the one that wields the hammer and the torch.
Yeah.
And we work it out.
Yeah.
It's fine. I shout earplugs and he knows what's happening.
Yeah. So he's got all the oil and flammable paints and you're running around with the blowtorch.
Yeah,
I can see it now.
Careful with the torch, you know.
It's usually the hammering. Whenever I do hear earplugs, it's like, oh, no. Yeah,
the big hammer.
Lunch break.
Yeah, so I do kind of minimalist, not fussy jewelry, kind of sentimental jewelry. Jewelry for me is, it has to be special in some way, some kind of meaning.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of small pendants with, I've had requests for GPS coordinates of where folks have met, initials of loved ones, or symbolism of something that's meaningful. I do a lot of wire work trees, because trees represent all kinds of wonderful things for people.
Sure.
And I've kind of been obsessed with stones since a little kid. So it was just taking that passion and running with it, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah, she's usually calling me over very excited to look at some stone. And then she goes off into some technical detail about it. And I just nod my head. And
Yeah.
It's pretty.
So I want to know, what's the first piece of art either one of you sold?
Do you remember?
Well,
were you like three?
Technically, the first piece of art that I actually sold, because none of my parents bought my art when I was very little. But technically, it was in high school. In order to make some money for lunch, I would sell nudie pictures. And
the
nudie picture.
See,
guy.
There's always a story.
Yeah. So that was my first experience in actually selling my art. But it wasn't until about 3.5 years ago where I sold my first piece in starting my business.
Yeah.
So, which is the cool thing is whenever I think about that or go back, like my artwork in the last 3 years has basically gone up in value. So like those people that bought the original pieces for $20, like that same piece of art is worth about $400.
Yeah, there you go.
It's so cool to think about that.
So you call your friend and say, hey, look, you owe me $380. So, and what about you, Clee?
It was a hemp bracelet with some ceramic beads and a metal butterfly. I sold it for $5 at an estate sale in Key West. It was very exciting. Lady was buying it for her granddaughter. And I thought, wow. I am really on to something now.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm going to take this and run with it. Yep.
Yeah, we celebrated.
Yeah, we totally did.
Well, you know, it's inspiring, though, when you guys want to do something that you want to do and you can get paid to do it.
Yeah.
I can definitely relate to that.
Yeah,
so.
If you take that excitement and you just run with it and you stay passionate, you're going to make the right decisions and you're going to keep that momentum going.
Yeah, and that's what's important is not allowing it to become, you know, because even with us, like, what do? I paint all day. I get to create stuff all day. Anybody else, they're like, oh my God, that's your dream job. You know, but because of the mentality that I would bring in, you know, there were days where I was like, oh, I've got 6 commissions this week. It's so much work. And I don't know if I have enough time. And we've got this meeting. This business wants to meet with us because they want to put our pieces in there. You know, and, you know, it's the ability to pull back and say, wait a second, what are you whining about?
Yeah, like, that's right. Awesome. Suck it up, right?
Like, yeah. You know, like, this is awesome. So it's remembering, it's a constant thing of remembering, like, wait a second, this is fun.
Yeah.
And I am having
and that's what
time.
I got into it for and,
yeah,
and
exactly.
Keep it that way.
And as long as I follow that, you know, then I can't make any mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, and that's basically been our business philosophy forever. Remember to have fun.
Yeah.
And it's worked awesome for us.
Yeah, it's worked out really
very cool. And remember, it's never done and nobody gets out alive.
Yeah, that's, exactly.
You can add, you can have that one. I will bequeath that one to you.
Put that on a t-shirt.
That's it. So well, let's tell everybody where they can find your art and how they can either come down to the studio or purchase.
Absolutely. So we do the downtown Palafox Market most Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we also have pieces at the Marty Campbell Gallery on Palafox. That's 126 Palafox Place. Mm-hmm. And on our website, basically our website links to everything else we do. So our calendar, our online shop, all that good stuff. At www.rafiwashere.com. And that's R-A-F-I was here.
Yep.
It's creative. That's creative.
And then we have a very rare open studio shindig this Sunday.
Yep.
Where we're letting people come to the studio.
Yeah. And see your workspace and stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's always fun because we post so many videos and so many pictures online and, you know, people get to come and see the actual studio.
And we have cookies.
Yeah.
Can I come swing the hammer? I want to come swing the hammer.
You can swing the hammer.
I'm going to break some rocks. Then we can throw them against the paint. I'm with you guys. So
we're up for it.
So, okay. Well, very cool. Really good story. I enjoy it a lot. And I'm going to check it out because and hopefully share some pictures on our site here. I think I can probably get some images that we can share and spread out. So I want to thank all of you guys for coming in this morning and hanging out with me. This is where I get to have fun every day. So, you know, you guys got to be a part of it today. So you can find us at Pensacola Radio X on Twitter, on Facebook at Pensacola Business Radio, and on our website at pensacola.businessradiox.com. Again, I want to thank all of our guests for being here today. And this has been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters. Mm-hmm.